Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. Thanks so much for joining me here today. Well, last week we talked about the all-out cultural assault upon our children's purity. And once that innocence has been taken from a child, it can never be regained. Robbing children of their natural innocence is one of the greatest injustices there is. And so we must pray and work that the purity of children is guarded as the precious jewel that it is. And one of the biggest enemies against childhood innocence is comprehensive sexuality education. Not only do these programs steal from children as young as preschoolers their integrity, but they also groom children for sex. And that means birth control and abortion profits for Planned Parenthood and others. We're continuing our discussion from last week, talking about how the push for so-called sex education is at the heart of bringing about radical societal changes at the expense of our children. But before we move on, let's begin in prayer. Lord, you are our Heavenly Father and protector. Thank you for always being present in our lives and in the lives of our precious loved ones. In this dark world, please guard our children's hearts and minds from all negative influences, which would draw them away from you. Fill their lives with faithful, supportive family members, friends, and teachers who have their best interest at heart. Surround them with authentic, inspiring role models to look up to. Guide them to good and holy learning materials, activities, and entertainment, which draw them ever closer to your light. Guard their hearts and minds as they navigate social dynamics and the internet. Keep them safe physically, emotionally, and spiritually wherever they go. Give them the grace to sense your presence with them. May they learn to practice and embrace silence so that they can hear their guardian angels whispering to them and guiding their way. Keep their hearts pure and their paths clear. Lead them in your ways and protect them from temptation always, that they may live to do your will and experience always your grace in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. In response to an abortion question posed in a town hall meeting earlier this week, former Vice President and current Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden doubled down on his promise to enact legislation that will codify Roe v. Wade if he is elected. In the NBC News town hall gathering in Miami, an audience member spoke of women's reproductive care as being essential for her to earn a degree and have a career. She asked Biden what his plan was to protect access to abortion, especially if Amy Coney Barrett is sworn in as a Supreme Court justice. The only responsible response, Biden told her, is to pass legislation making Roe the law of the land. That's what I would do, the Catholic presidential candidate stated. And the American Medical Association has just asked the Supreme Court to review an appeals court decision that upheld a ban on federal family planning funds for abortion providers. Late last year, the Trump administration finalized its Protect Life rule, barring Title X fund recipients from referring women for abortions and requiring financial separation of government-funded programs from those that carry out abortions. The AMA argues that the Protect Life rule has led to worse care for patients and that it interferes with the doctor-patient relationship. Planned Parenthood has lost approximately $60 million because of the Protect Life rule, and Joe Biden has promised to rescind it and resume Title X funding to abortion providers if he is elected in November. And the Archbishop of St. Louis, Missouri has come out strong on the church's teaching that Catholics must form a good conscience before voting in November by prioritizing the protection of unborn unborn children. In a letter to Catholics penned by Archbishop Mitchell Rosansky, the church leader stated that if you don't hold that abortion is the preeminent moral issue of our time, and if you don't struggle to justify voting for a candidate whose record or policy would favor or even expand abortion, then you probably aren't forming a Catholic conscience in preparation to vote. Politicians and leaders in the Democratic Party are pushing the expansion of abortion for any reason up until the moment of birth, as well as forcing American taxpayers to pay for them. Finally, no abortions were done this past week at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in answer to prayers. 40 Days for Life continues on until Sunday, November 1st. You can sign up at 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to spend an hour of prayer there at 421 South College Avenue to pray and witness to the gospel of life. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, Planned Parenthood is not only our nation's largest abortion provider, but it's also one of the most prominent players in bringing sex education to the classrooms of young children. And of course, it's easy to understand why. If they can develop these radical sexual lifestyles in children, they can keep their profits going, and they can keep the power. Jim Sedlak, who is the executive director of the American Life League and founder of Stop Planned Parenthood, has been, for years and years and years now, on the cutting edge of keeping people informed about Planned Parenthood's progressive and extreme agenda, especially as it concerns our children and sex ed. As Catholics, we know that human sexuality is a beautiful gift bestowed upon us from Almighty God, and as such, it is very sacred. It is the means by which another human person, created in the image and likeness of God, comes into existence. Therefore, it must be handled with the utmost care and with treasured love, like a very fine piece of china. But you would never know this by the way sexuality is treated by our culture. And the abuse of this most sublime gift is the reason for most of our problems in the world. Well, Mr. Sedlak has done a fine job of outlining the history of the introduction of sex ed programs in our country. And a good chunk of what you're going to be hearing today comes from his years of work on the subject. Now, not surprisingly, Planned Parenthood was a pioneer in bringing sex education to America. Margaret Sanger, a racist and eugenicist, is credited with writing the first sex education book in the country. It was entitled What Every Boy and Girl Should Know. In the 1940s, American psychologist and gynecologist Lena Levin led the first major push for sex education in public schools. Levin worked for Planned Parenthood and was a close colleague of Sanger. The two were very bound up in socialist ideas. Levin advocated for a woman's right to sexual enjoyment. The end goal of pleasure really drove the ideologies of the two women, as well as their aim to overthrow what they saw as the patriarchy, a system they claim where men hold the power and women are largely excluded from it. Levin, right alongside of Sanger, lobbied for free contraception for women, premarital sex, and frank discussions of human sexuality, including with children. One of her established goals was to, quote, teach children how to obtain sexual satisfaction before marriage, close quote. Well, the following decade saw another Planned Parenthood executive making further strides. In 1958, Dr. Mary Calderone, the medical director for Planned Parenthood at that time, organized a national conference that set in motion the movement to legalize abortion. One of her biggest accomplishments while at Planned Parenthood was to get the American Medical Association to overturn its policy against physicians disseminating information on contraception. She did that in 1964. Believing that her work should not just be limited to pregnancy prevention, but that it should encompass educating men, women, and children on human sexuality, Calderone left her position as medical director of Planned Parenthood to establish the Sex Information and Education Council of the United States, also known as CECUS. It is here that Calderone did for sex education what Sanger had done for birth control, popularized it by breaking down people's natural moral barriers through the art of persuasion. The organization that Calderone founded still exists today and continues to be a big player in shaping policy, only it's now called CECUS, Sex Ed for Social Change. It is a private corporation and not a government agency, but it has had enormous influence upon our culture and our youth. CECUS's mantras include science, not fear, teach the truth, and support real sex ed. In actuality, it's an organization that inverts science and truth, and it is complicit in stripping human sexuality of its authentic dignity, beauty, and sublimity. Now, Planned Parenthood did not hesitate to partner with Calderone and her new organization in pushing for sex ed. The two always worked hand in hand. In 1986, the abortion giant announced a corporate goal of mandatory K through 12 sexuality education programs in every school district in the country. As of today, they've nearly reached their goal. Last week, I told you about Monica Klein, a former Planned Parenthood sexual health educator. I told you how Klein describes the material that is presented to the children as being very explicit and not age appropriate, and that's putting it mildly. Now, as a side note, the attacks that Planned Parenthood has waged against purity and innocence have not gone unchecked, thanks be to God. There are some heroic men and women stepping up who are drawing attention to the alarming curriculums and who are advocating for the protection of children in the classrooms. One such organization is called the Safe Ed K-12 Task Force, and it hails from the state of Florida. The 28-member task force, which is led by former Florida House of Representative Beverly Kilmer, is working hard to expose the filth that children are taught in these comprehensive sexual education programs and how they are illegal, breaking laws against child pornography and pedophilia, and all the while purposely keeping parents in the dark. The national spokesperson for this effort is the legendary Florida State University coach Bobby Bowden. And Mr. Jim Sedlak, whom I mentioned earlier, is one of the task force members as well. The Safe Ed K-12 Task Force not only provides solid information to help parents combat the offensive sex ed curriculums that are found in most school systems, but they also highly encourage parents to leave the governmental-controlled, failing public school system when a school refuses to eliminate the inappropriate comprehensive sex education. Their website is safeedk12.com. That's safeedk12.com. Practical help and scholarships are available there for those parents who want to get their children out of the public schools. Now, comprehensive sex education, as you might imagine, not only involves teaching children about premarital sex, contraception, and abortion, but it also works to impart LGBTQ propaganda upon children. Let's use the state of New Jersey as an example of just how ugly things are. This past June, new standards for sex education in public schools in the Garden State were set with the aid of none other than Planned Parenthood. In a press release for the new guide, Planned Parenthood Action Fund of New Jersey stated, "Modeled on the National Sexuality Education Standards, the gold standard for sex education, the new guidelines and educational requirements feature an updated, more comprehensive curriculum that includes expanded content topics, including LGBTQ identities and consent." Some of the new standards, and I hesitate to call them that because these are not levels of decency, but of moral corruption, include the following. By the end of their high school years, students should be able to advocate for school and community policies and programs that promote dignity and respect for all people of all genders, gender expressions, gender identities, and sexual orientations. Another standard reads, students should be able to analyze the influences of peers, family, media, social norms, and culture on the expression of gender, sexual orientation, and identity. Additionally, students should be able to compare and contrast the advantages and disadvantages of contraceptive methods and analyze personal and societal factors that can influence decisions about pregnancy options like parenting, abortion, safe haven, and adoption. These standards are then translated into graphic material that is presented to the children in their sex education lessons, which can often be up to 70 hours of classroom time per child. Now, beginning in the middle school years, kids are taught how to consent to and enjoy all kinds of sexual perversions. Elementary school children are exposed to the, quote, range of ways pregnancy can occur, including in vitro fertilization treatments and surrogacy, close quote. and they're taught the concepts of sexual orientation and gender identity. The whole goal of this comprehensive sexual education program is to try and blot out the natural law that is written on hearts, as well as to do away with the concepts of marriage and the nuclear family. I don't hesitate to say that these programs are child abuse and are causing untold psychological harm. Is it any wonder so many children are on drugs and suicidal? Children grow up thinking that all this stuff, these perversions, are completely normal. And New Jersey is far from being the only state that this is going on in. This past March, right before the coronavirus lockdown hit, Washington State passed one of the most radical pro-abortion, pro-gender ideology sex education plans in the nation. The bill was written up to accommodate the growing trends within human sexuality and outlined a proposal to adopt new comprehensive sex education material over the next 2 years. Comprehensive is the new buzzword because you've got to be seen as encompassing everything and being tolerant. Well, Washington's new standards will allow the sexual act to be described to 5-year-olds. 7-year-olds will be instructed about sexual pleasure, and 12-year-olds will be directed to a website with graphic instructions. When legislators were debating this bill, some of the already approved curriculum was so graphic that legislators couldn't quote it in proceedings without getting gaveled or silenced. State-approved material includes information on gender theory, promiscuity, condoms, contraception, abortion, sexual deviances, how males can allegedly have babies, why biological males should be allowed on girls' sports teams, cross-sex hormones, and getting HPV vaccinations without parental involvement. Yep, demonically comprehensive. Katie Faust, a children's rights activist, summed it up by saying, "This is not education. This is propaganda, ideology, and grooming." And late last year, there was a big showdown between hundreds of parents of students in the Austin, Texas Independent School District who opposed a graphic pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ sex education curriculum and those community members who supported it. Of course, Planned Parenthood of Texas voiced their full support for the program, a program, by the way, which opponents called a dream scenario for pedophiles. Unfortunately, those who supported the curriculum showed up to a school board meeting in full force, shouting down those who were trying to make the logical and sane case for why they objected to it. Among these was a transgender who kept screaming in front of the podium, harassing those who came to voice their concerns, as well as many within the LGBTQ community who came waving their rainbow flags. If nothing else, this group sure does know how to organize and get its members fired up in order to effect radical change. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Luke 16, verse 8. And then even more recently, news came out of Santa Barbara, California, that the school district there had approved a sex ed program for preteens that promotes extreme sexual acts as well as abortion. The school board held a meeting to hear public comments, and it was reported that nearly all of the 80 parents who attended were against the program being put into place. Supermodel Kathy Ireland was there and voiced her grave concern. "This course violates Christian, Jewish, and Muslim faith," Ireland said. "It violates science. It over-sexualizes our children, and it violates our precious children, and it does not deal with the aftermath." In spite of overwhelming opposition to the bill, it passed anyway. Well, many more examples of such graphic, comprehensive sex education programs could be given, but you get the idea of the level of depravity we've hit within the public school systems of our country, with due recognition to Planned Parenthood and CECAS for getting that task done. Oh, how important this issue should be for us when we go to vote. We need to know especially the candidates for our local school boards and find out where they stand on the issue of comprehensive sexual education. And this is definitely an issue to consider even at the presidential level. Back in 2018, President Trump cut off grant funding to Planned Parenthood when the Department of Health and Human Services eliminated the abortion provider's Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program, which is a sex ed program. They sued, of course, and a federal judge issued a permanent injunction blocking Trump's effort. Nonetheless, Trump sent a clear signal that these comprehensive sex ed programs, like teen pregnancy prevention, are not what our country needs. In fact, they cause way more harm than good, as we see the devastation all around us. An in-depth investigation by the Institute for Research and Evaluation into more than 60 studies on comprehensive sex ed in the United States and 43 studies abroad found little evidence that these liberal programs are effective at producing positive impact on their participants. Author Irene Erickson said, "Perhaps of greatest concern is that this new analysis found harmful effects on children and youth. Of those some 103 studies, only 6 found any evidence of real effectiveness after a year. And even those 6 sex ed programs made no difference in reducing sexually transmitted diseases, and only 1 of them even lowered teen pregnancy. However, the researchers warned that they had no trouble finding negative results from these comprehensive sex ed programs, like the increase in teen sex and other risky behaviors and the fallout from this. Similarly, a 2016 study by the American Journal of Public Health found that teenagers in these programs were more likely to begin having sex and more likely to get pregnant. Well, isn't this just common sense? If you teach kids about sex and encourage them to engage in it, well, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to get pregnant, contract diseases, and have to deal with all the emotional and spiritual consequences from a loss of their innocence and the failure to develop healthy relationships. These curriculums place an awful lot of pressure on children to relinquish the beautiful gift of their virginity. It treats them as animals and not as the child of God that they are, deserving of the utmost dignity and respect. Yeah, it's very sad. Children just aren't equipped to deal with the aftermath of giving away their bodies simply for pleasure and giving in to every passing whim and instant self-gratification. Adults, parents, and teachers have failed them. And we need to remember this when we vote. Planned Parenthood continues to demand more and more taxpayer money for their radical sex ed programs, whose content is shocking to even most adults, and whose approach to preventing teen pregnancy and STDs doesn't even work. Planned Parenthood is fixated on getting leaders elected this November who will fill their coffers and peddle their agenda. So we must be engaged in this battle at the local, state, and national levels, especially in how we vote. Now, as I've been alluding to, there's really been a push lately for what liberals are calling a pleasure-centered sex education. And oh, how I wish that every child would be educated using a classical curriculum that emphasized the traditional liberal arts of language and mathematics and the time-honored works of history and literature. Children are instinctively drawn to truth, goodness, and beauty. It is through exposure to great classical compositions that they learn the importance and the necessity of practicing virtue. If educators introduced children to some of the great ancient philosophers like Aristotle, they would perform a great service to them and to society because it would help to shape them into virtuous, productive citizens. Aristotle, whose ideas, by the way, had a profound impact on the great St. Thomas Aquinas, believed it was of the utmost importance to raise children in a particular way so that they might find enjoyment or pain in the right things, he said. He also said, "It is because of pleasure that we do bad actions, and pain that we abstain from noble ones." Aristotle said that our final good is happiness and that this can only be attained by acquiring virtue. But virtue itself is concerned with pleasures and pains, he added. We often do the wrong thing because it is pleasurable, and we do not do the right thing because it is painful. Quoting Aristotle here, "The person who enjoys every pleasure and never restrains himself becomes intemperate, while he who avoids all pleasure becomes, as it were, insensible. Temperance and courage, then, are ruined by excess and deficiency, and preserved by the mean." Imagine if our children were exposed to such wisdom and beauty as is found in the philosopher's works. What moral virtue and character could be built up in their hearts, minds, and souls? This is what our children need, and not this comprehensive sexual education stuff that simply confirms children in doing the wrong things because they are pleasurable. Well, anyway, there's now this drive to make sure that sex education programs don't just talk about avoiding pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases. Now they need to make sure that plenty of content is devoted to teaching children how to gratify and pleasure themselves and not feel any shame for doing so. Pleasure-based sex ed is now acknowledged as a primary goal of sex education. Listen to why one sex educator who works for an Austin, Texas abortion facility believes her work is important. She said, quote, "Emphasizing sexual pleasure is important to help reduce trauma in the world. I want my community, people of color, to be able to have access to medically accurate and pleasure-based sex education, because that is what is going to connect their humanity to all of the other aspects in their life. With that, we're going to be able to create a more trauma-free, healed world." Well, ever since the sexual revolution, millions of people have been trying to do it this way, and they're more depressed and traumatized than ever before. Pleasure, as Aristotle said, will not bring happiness and peace. Only the practice of virtue will. Well, the results of these upcoming elections are going to determine the direction of a lot of things, including the implementation of these comprehensive sexuality education programs. Federal, state, and local governments already dole out hundreds of millions of dollars to fund this drivel. But good debates are taking place in the halls of our legislators, and there are many who are standing up and going to bat to protect the innocence of our children. One such lawmaker is Minnesota State Representative Kathy Lohmer, a Republican. Lohmer calls these sex ed programs pornography. When bringing to light some of what is contained in the curriculum of these programs, she said, "It is something even some of my colleagues, men especially, on the House floor did not even want to look at. We couldn't show this on the 10 o'clock news, yet we want fourth grade children to be looking at this stuff." Comprehensive sex education is a very serious issue. Last November, Cardinal Robert Serra spoke at a conference in Spain where he gave a talk entitled "The Importance of Education in the Church's Mission Today." In it, he strongly criticized sex ed programs and the LGBTQ ideology that is overrunning the educational system. And he pointed to the root cause of this, the acceptance of contraception. "The first link in the process of gender theory involved women," Cardinal Serra said. "In fact, the contraceptive mentality that has extended strongly after 1950 has made possible a profound disconnection between the woman and her body, a disconnection that has radically changed the way of understanding human sexuality, marriage, filiation, and of course, education." He continued, "The contraceptive mentality has engendered a dualism between individual freedom seen as unlimited and almighty on the one hand, and the body as an instrument of enjoyment on the other. In that perspective, the sexed body can no longer be lived as a sign and instrument of the gift of self, whose purpose is the communion of the spouses. The intrinsic link between the two meanings of the conjugal act, the procreative dimension and the unitive dimension, is broken. This link becomes optional, and logically, sexuality ends up being considered only in its relational and pleasure-producing dimension. The destabilizing effects of such a mentality have not been long in coming." Cardinal Serra added, "If the intrinsic link between the two meanings of the conjugal act is denied, the difference between the sexes loses the first foundation of their intelligibility. From then on," he said, "the sexed body can more and more be considered as a material that individual consciousness can model to its own liking." Cardinal Serra called for the church to become more active in defending the truth about the human body and sexuality, especially in the sphere of education. The cardinal used the analogy of fish kept in an aquarium to students who are in schools. "Right now, the water in the aquarium is dirty and unhealthy," he lamented. "Despite any good food that might be given, the fish are being slowly poisoned and will eventually perish." In the learning environment, even while there are well-disposed students and dedicated teachers, there are substances in the environment, these dangerous ideologies that are toxic. The water can be cleansed, he said, by rediscovering the identity of human beings created in the image and likeness of God. The church must assume a greater responsibility and commitment to propose its doctrinal and moral teachings in a clear, precise, and firm manner, Cardinal Sarah said. Some incredibly important words spoken there from Cardinal Sarah. May they shape the way we live, pray, raise our children, and vote. Thanks for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.